From the heart of our nation's capital, this is Washington Watch. Now, here's your host, Weekend Edition producer, David Salkeld.
Hello and welcome to Washington Watch Live. I'm David Salkeld, host of the Weekend Edition of Washington Watch, and I'm sitting in for Tony Perkins as he and his family take some much-deserved time off. And let me just wish you a Happy New Year. Over the last few days, we've been bringing you some of the best interviews that were aired here on Washington Watch during 2018. And just as today is a new beginning to the year, this show will be a show about new beginnings. And you can keep up with everything we do here at the Family Research Council over at TonyPerkins.com. Also, as we begin this new year, it's so important that our friends who do such a great job supporting FRC throughout the year continue to keep us in your prayers. Also, your financial support does help keep this program on the air. So if you can help us out financially, just click on the donate button when you're at TonyPerkins.com or give us a call at 800-225-4008. Also, let me remind you of a couple of things that we've got going on here at Family Research Council that I think you're going to want to participate in. First is the Stand app. It's our way of staying in touch with you on the important issues facing the nation, and it's your way of staying in touch with your representatives in Washington, D.C. on the issues that matter the most to you. And if you ever miss this show, and I hope you don't, but if you do, you can still catch the show right there on the app. The second item is our Stand membership. You know, Tony encourages you daily to take a stand for your beliefs, and in that spirit, we're asking you to take a stand with us financially on an ongoing basis. And when you become a Stand member, you'll receive benefits like a copy of Tony's book, No Fear, quarterly devotionals, and even the Standing in Faith monthly teachings by Tony. You can find out more about both of these at TonyPerkins.com. A little later on in the show, we'll be hearing from a man who so many of you were praying for last year as he was held in a Turkish prison. We'll be sharing the interview Tony Perkins had with Pastor Andrew Brunson after his release last fall. But first, on January 31st of last year, former Kansas Governor Sam Brownback was officially sworn in as the U.S. Ambassador at Large for International Religious Freedom. And he has accomplished so much in the past year, including the first ministerial to advance religious freedom held last summer in Washington, D.C. Ambassador Brownback is a strong proponent for religious liberty and joined FRC President Tony Perkins to talk about his new role.
I was privileged to be on hand last Thursday when former Kansas Governor Sam Brownback was officially sworn in as U.S. Ambassador at Large for International Religious Freedom. Ambassador Brownback was also a former member of the U.S. Senate, where he represented Kansas. He was sworn in at the White House by Vice President Mike Pence. Ambassador Brownback has a long track record as a proponent for religious freedom and human rights, and it's a privilege to welcome him back to Washington Watch as ambassador. Ambassador Brownback, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hey, thanks, Tony. Really appreciate you. Appreciate the program that you guys put on and all that you guys stand for. Keep fighting. Keep fighting strong.
Well, I know you're excited about the new opportunity. I know the challenges could not be greater. When you look across the landscape globally, what is your assessment of religious freedom?
It's under attack. It's perhaps never been worse than it is now for as far as the level of religious persecution that's taking place. It takes place in many ways and forms, from people being beheaded because they're Christians, to people being denied their medical services or being ousted from countries because they're not Buddhist in some places. It's unfortunately, the state of religious freedom is on the decline. But I have to say, too, I think this administration, the Trump administration, really needs to stop that decline and reverse it and see religious freedom expand and to use the tools available for the United States government to push religious freedom around the world for all people of all types of faith.
And I think evidence of that commitment is the selection, the nomination, and the push to confirm you as ambassador at large for that post. This is something that's been a priority, at least in the stated law, the statutes, going back to the late 90s. Former Congressman Frank Wolf of Virginia kind of championing that issue. And we've seen in the last administration the neglect, the void of leadership on this issue. And, of course, what it's led to is an increase of the influence of the tyrants. As you, you're just getting your feet on the ground, I can only imagine what the first week has been like. What will be your initial focus as you you begin to try to wrap your head around the global nature of this problem?
There's a lot to do, but you know, initially, Tony, what I'm looking at is northern Iraq and Syria because of the religious cleansing that has taken place there of Yazidis and Christians, and then Burma, of what's taking place there, of the Muslim minority being pushed out into Bangladesh. There's no shortage of issues, unfortunately. There's others taking place in many other places around the world. Nigeria, unfortunately, situations in China and India. I could just really rattle off quite a few, but those two that I mentioned are the ones that I'm looking at initially being the ones I want to focus on the most to really try to move the agenda forward and help these persecuted religious minorities.
Of course, the 1948 Universal Declaration of Human Rights, which the UN adopted, which was pushed by Eleanor Roosevelt, who actually helped really push that through the UN, makes very clear that religious freedom is the right to choose your religion or change your religion, which is the definition that the United States has used. And many countries have signed on to that. But there's been no one who has really held it up as the standard of what religious liberty is. This comes back to our State Department, and I'm hoping that so under your influence, we'll see the State Department putting a higher priority once again on religious freedom as something that America wants to export.
I agree, Tony. You know, I helped carry that 28 bill when we first put this into law and created the Office of the Ambassador at Large for International Religious Freedom. And it was because we weren't getting any support, not my estimation, or very little, out of the State Department. They just really didn't want to deal with religion. They kind of saw it as a complicating factor and not something that helps good foreign policy. We've got plenty of other things to do. A number of us in the Congress were going, no, this is a foundational issue, and you've got to get this human right first. This is the first human right, what you do with your own soul. And if you get this one right, the others will follow from it. A, B, now we've got the studies that show you'll have better security and less terrorism. If you let people practice their faith the way they see fit to do, they're not going to fight you. They're going to use the lawful means at their disposal, and the amount of terrorism goes down and the amount of security goes up for a nation if people are free to practice their faith.
Yeah, what's fascinating about that, Ambassador, is not only is the issue of security there, but also economic development and growth. Those countries that have the strongest laws protecting religious freedom also have the strongest laws protecting free market principles, which lead to economic growth.
They do. These go hand in hand. But the thing that I'm really excited about in this, Tony, is I really think we've got a moment now where things can start to move. We've got the studies now that show this leads to greater security. We know about it on economic fronts. But it's also that there's a globalization, I think, that's being realized that I think a lot of people thought that religion was going to fade as a matter of interest around the world, that reason was going to take over. But the opposite has happened. We've had people's faith grow around the world. And to be able to then accommodate that in a growing nation and diverse area, you need to allow this religious freedom. So it seems like the moment is right for this decline to stop and an increase to move forward. And it's part of why I'm excited about getting into this role.
You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. Glad to have you here with us on this Wednesday afternoon. Ambassador Sam Brownback is my guest. He is Ambassador-at-Large for Religious Freedom, just newly sworn into that post last Thursday. You know, Ambassador, a lot of folks, not a lot of folks, there are some critics among the, I'm going to say the evangelical world that say that and even the media, that Trump is simply, President Trump is simply giving lip service to religious freedom. I push back on that because I see a real commitment to this. And, I mean, again, his selecting you for this post would suggest to me that he's serious about dealing with this issue and not just looking for window dressing or for some type of religious parade with no substance.
I agree with that. You know, I mean, I am who I am, Tony. I've got a long track record of public service. I'm a social conservative. I'm a well-known person of faith. I am a fight to get through the Senate. And indeed, the vice president had to vote twice to get me through the Senate on tie votes. Well, that's not something you're just going to do for window dressing. You're doing that because, look, I think this is the guy that can do the job and he's going to push hard, and I'm going to push hard to get him there. That was there. The office has been well-staffed. The vice president swore me in. The vice president is personally vested in this. He's the one that called me, really recruited me into the job. This administration is vested in this, and I think now what you're going to see is them willing to use the teeth that are in the laws to be able to push religious freedom like it's never been pushed before. And that's going to be, you know, partially up to me, too, and to some of your listeners to push the administration and the public officials to say religious freedom is central. I want to see the administration do this.
And that's what I want to ask you next, Ambassador, is how can our listeners and the churches, the pastors across this country, help raise the profile of this issue? Because I believe that as Christians, we have an obligation to be concerned about our neighbors, whether they're one block away or one continent away. We still have an obligation to speak up for them.
You know, I think what a lot of the pastors and people can do is just put out some of the stories. I met today with a Syrian Orthodox community that's in northern Iraq and have been driven out of there, and a number of their people have been trafficked. Putting those stories out or putting them up on a video site. I met yesterday with an Yazidi woman who had been trafficked and her family members killed in the Nineveh Plains. They're going to have a documentary. There is a documentary out now on her showing that documentary. So that people can see these are real people, real lives that represent hundreds of thousands of people that have been persecuted simply because they were not the dominant faith
right,
in their area.
Right.
And that, yeah, I think those can be helpful.
I think I know who you're talking about. I hosted her at a Council for National Policy meeting because I do think that oftentimes we get tunnel vision, only see what's happening here. And we do have, as a leader, as a nation that is in a leadership role, we have an obligation to lead out on these, what you say, fundamental freedoms. Because without religious freedom, there can be no true freedom. Ambassador, I want to thank you for joining us. We look forward to locking arms with you to take this message across this country and literally around the globe.
God bless you and appreciate your prayers.
You're listening to a special Best of 2018 edition of Washington Watch Live. You can find out more about Ambassador Brownback when you head over to TonyPerkins.com. While you're there, why don't you consider donating to the work of Family Research Council by simply clicking on the donate button. Your financial help keeps efforts like this program going. So head over to TonyPerkins.com and click on the donate button. When we come back, a look at the impact that our stand on international religious freedom has. We'll be back with more of the best of Washington Watch Live right after this.
This Christmas, give a gift with purpose. Your gift to Family Research Council enables us to advance faith, family, and freedom in public policy and the culture from a Christian worldview. Together, we will work to ensure religious liberty for all Americans is upheld, unborn babies in the womb are protected, and biblical values are honored in our country. Your giving can make an eternal difference for your community and for future generations. And if you give between now and December 31st to FRC, your gift will be doubled by a generous challenge match. Any donation is tax deductible. Be fruitful in your gift giving this season. Call 1-800-225-4008 or visit frc.org/2018 to donate. Again, that number is 1-800-225-4008. and frc.org/2018. Thank you for standing with us. FRC wishes you and your family a Merry Christmas and a Blessed New Year.
We're inviting you to join other like-minded people and become a STAN member. We want to build stronger relationships with listeners like you and provide resources to strengthen your faith and equip you to stand for the values that matter to you of life, marriage, and religious freedom. By joining this growing network of engaged believers, you'll receive a copy of Tony Perkins' book, No Fear, detailing courageous Christians standing for truth. And for a limited time this month, we will also send you a copy of Pastor Carter Conlon's book, It's Time to Pray, that illustrates how God's power can change everything. Take action today and become an FRC STAN member for $17 a month. That's just 56 cents a day. To join, call 1-800-225-4008 or visit frc.org/stan. That's 1-800-225-4008 or visit frc.org/stan. Thank you for partnering with us. The world on our horizon is like the days I knew. Gone are the days of writing with fresh ink on thick paper and the swift crack of a letter opener. Homemade meals now replaced by fancy robots trying to figure out how often I buy organic goji berries. I don't even know what a goji berry is. My church started offering free Wi-Fi and changed their name from First Baptist to Radiant Water Life something or other. They even started posting video sermons recorded on wood pallet backgrounds that sync directly to a Dropbox that I have yet to locate. Thankfully, there's a silver lining to all this newfangled technology. Family Research Council's Stand Firm app. Put down your quill and contact your legislators directly from your smartphone or tablet. Share legislative alerts with your contacts and connect with like-minded Christians about the latest current events. Read the Washington Update and listen to Washington Watch with Tony Perkins. This thing's got it all, buddy boy. Keep your cool and help secure our future at frc.org/app.
Welcome back to this special Best of 2018 edition of Washington Watch Live. I'm David Salkeld, host of the weekend edition of Washington Watch, sitting in for Tony Perkins as we highlight some of the best interviews from the past year of Washington Watch Live programs. And you need to know that you make this program possible through your prayer and financial support. And you can join our team of supporters by going to TonyPerkins.com or you can give us a call at 800-225-4008. As you probably remember, we had been encouraging you to pray for Pastor Andrew Brunson as he was being held in prison in Turkey. He was released on October 12th and flown back to the United States. Family Research Council President Tony Perkins interviewed Pastor Brunson on the Washington Watch Live radio show the following Wednesday, and today we're going to replay that interview. I think you'll be encouraged by the frankness and faith of Pastor Andrew Brunson. Here now is Tony Perkins.
All right, American Pastor Andrew Brunson was released on Friday, October the 12th, after nearly 2 years in detention for trumped-up charges in Turkey. He arrived in Washington, D.C. the following Saturday, 2 minutes before noon, touched down at Andrews Air Force Base, and shortly thereafter met with the President of the United States. In fact, in that meeting, he prayed for the President, and I want you to hear that prayer.
We would like to pray for you. We pray for you often.
Thank you.
As a family, my wife and I pray for you.
Thank you. Well, I need it probably more than anybody in this room. So I would, that would be very nice. Thank you.
Could we pray for you?
Yes, thank you very much.
Lord God, I ask that you pour out your Holy Spirit on President Trump, that you give him supernatural wisdom to accomplish all the plans you have for this country and for him. I ask that you give him wisdom on how to lead this country into righteousness. I ask that you give him perseverance and endurance and courage to stand for truth. I ask that you protect him from slander, from enemies, from those who would undermine. I ask that you make him a great blessing to this country. Fill him with your wisdom and strength and perseverance. And we bless him. May he be a great blessing to our country. In Jesus' name, we bless you. Amen.
And I just want to pray that the Spirit of the Lord would rest on the President, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and fear of the Lord. Amen.
A powerful moment in the Oval Office a week ago, Saturday. Pastor Brunson returned to Washington yesterday after an intense media tour to thank those who were involved in securing his release. We were at the State Department and later in the afternoon at the White House with the vice president and even the president. And joining me now is Pastor Andrew Brunson himself. Pastor Brunson, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thank you. And the first thing I'd like to say is thank you to you, Tony, for the counsel you've given me and all of the help you provided. And also, I think a number of your listeners, people who have also signed at Family Research Council petitions, and I remember receiving in prison one that had thousands of names on it that was very encouraging to me just to look at the names on it and know that these people had committed to pray. And then you also brought over a list, I think it had 9,000 names, right before my last trial. And it was an encouragement just to know that so many believers were standing with us. So I want to thank the people who prayed for us.
Well, thank you. And folks, I hope you hear that those prayers matter. And I want to, that's a great place to start, Andrew, because there were moments in your incarceration where you really felt alone. And there were, you were really concerned. And you and I have talked about this, about the book that you plan to write in the future, about the ups and downs. And even when we're strong in our faith, we go through those valleys. And to know that other people are standing with you, I think it's why Paul in Ephesians 6 encouraged people to pray for him. We all need that prayer. And that meant a whole lot to you, didn't it?
It did. I was in a cell with Muslims. Well, for 2 years, I was only with Muslims as the only Christian. And I often felt very alone. I had many questions and doubts sometimes. And the only person I had who could come in and correct some of those was Noreen on the visits I had with her. And I would often ask her, are people praying for me still? Because when she would say, I was afraid that I would be forgotten. And she would say, yes, people are still praying. And it's something that would take me through the next week. Just knowing that there were people standing with me.
That had to be, I mean, in a foreign country. Now, you had been there for nearly a little over 20 years. I mean, you've served those people. You love the Turkish people. You've repeatedly said that. You were there as a missionary to serve. And you find yourself, you know, serving, loving the people, reaching out to them with the gospel. Then you find yourself in prison. You know, obviously trumped up charges. This was after the coup attempt 2 years ago. But it's become clear to us it was because of your faith, because as a missionary. Were there moments when you had to wrestle with God through this?
There really were. And especially in the first year, I thought, I didn't sign up for this. I hadn't counted that as part of the cost. I realize in some places like in China and the previous generation, pastors often expected to go to prison. And I had counted other costs. There were risks. There were bomb threats, death threats. Someone attacked me once with a shotgun. There were things like that we had factored in and gone through a process of submission to the Lord in those areas. But prison had never, I'd never counted that as a cost. So when it happened, it kind of shocked me. And I also, I think from reading biographies of strong believers who've gone through prison, I didn't hear about their struggles. And so I had an idealized vision of what it would be, an idea of what it would be like to be in prison, that it would just be full of joy all the time and encounters with Jesus. And that's not what happened. It was really a time of walking in the dark in many ways.
What would you say was your lowest point in this two-year journey?
Well, I kept having low points.
Andrew, we're up against a break. I'm sorry. Hold on, because I want you to think about that. And
okay.
I'm going to ask you, as you look back on that, what was that point where you just didn't know that you could go any further?
Okay.
Folks, Pastor Andrew Brunson is with me. We're going to go to the break, and we're going to come back. We're going to continue this conversation. And then we're going to talk about the high point that took place when the jail door opened and he was able to return to the United States of America and within 24 hours go from being incarcerated in Turkey to being in the Oval Office in Washington. That's next. Don't go away. More to come.
This Christmas, give a gift with purpose. Your gift to Family Research Council enables us to advance faith, family, and freedom in public policy and the culture from a Christian worldview. Together, we will work to ensure religious liberty for all Americans is upheld, unborn babies in the womb are protected, and biblical values are honored in our country. Your giving can make an eternal difference for your community and for future generations. And if you give between now and December 31st to FRC, your gift will be doubled by a generous challenge match. Any donation is tax deductible. Be fruitful in your gift giving this season. Call 1-800-225-4008 or visit frc.org/2018 to donate. Again, that number is 1-800-225-4008 and frc.org/2018. Thank you for standing with us. FRC wishes you and your family a Merry Christmas and a Blessed New Year.
Your email inbox is probably filled with a lot of free stuff these days. Free is good, but most of our email ends up being free spam. If you want a healthier diet in your inbox, add Tony Perkins' Washington Update newsletter to your email menu. This daily update from Family Research Council is our flagship publication, an update with the latest pro-family take on Washington's hottest issues. The update goes beyond the headlines and examines what is really going on in our culture and politics from a biblical perspective. Are evangelicals showing up at the polls? Are faith-based adoption providers persecuting same-sex couples? The left and the media love to answer these questions for you. Let FRC remove the spin and give you real answers with the Washington Update. To subscribe to this free daily newsletter and to subscribe to other free resources, go to frc.org/connect. That's frc.org/connect.
You're listening to a special Best of 2018 edition of Washington Watch Live, recorded in October of last year.
You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. So glad to have you with us on this Wednesday afternoon. The website, TonyPerkins.com. All right, it was it'll be 2 weeks ago this coming Friday that Pastor Andrew Brunson was released from a prison incarceration in Turkey and quickly brought back to the United States. He's been back, was back in Washington yesterday thanking the many people who were involved in securing his release. And he joins me today by phone here on Washington Watch. Andrew, thanks for sticking around. Let me go back to that question. This was a difficult journey, and you and I have talked about that, and your wife, tremendously strong woman, standing with you, advocating for you there in Turkey. Noreen, you're blessed. She's just a wonderful lady.
She is. Amazing.
And you guys make it. It was a treat to be with you. You're a wonderful couple, just a godly couple.
Thank you.
Just a blessing to know. But let's talk about that point. I'm sure you've reflected on this. What was the lowest point in this journey?
You know, there were a number of low points, and I kept saying, God, how many times are you going to allow me to be broken? Can I be broken any more than I have already? And then I would go lower and then be broken again. But one of the very most difficult was when I was taken from a detention center and put into a high-security prison. And I was completely cut off from the outside. It was 3 weeks before I had any contact with Noreen of any kind. And so I saw it was really serious. They had accused me of being a terrorist. And it was a very scary thing, and frankly, I felt abandoned by God at that point. There was another point about 8 months later when I had had a dream or two in prison. I thought God was showing me a time of release. There had been other confirming things, and actually there was an agreement made with the Turkish government, and it fell apart at the last minute. Noreen had been told to pack her bags, and it fell apart. And so at that point, I just had a breakdown, and I lost a lot of hope. And what happened that began to turn that around, at that point, I lost hope. I had a lot of questions and doubts about God, and I decided to set them aside and intentionally not ask questions anymore. but just try instead to focus on submitting to God and saying, I am here, I am yours, and it doesn't matter what happens to me, I want to be faithful to you. And so my prayer became, Lord, I want to finish my race well, whatever it is you have before me. I am weak, I'm broken. Please give me the strength and the courage to press on until the end. And that was a turning point.
When they took you to the high security facility, was there a question in your mind as that you didn't know what the future was? You didn't know if you were going to live, die? You didn't know what they were going to do to you?
I didn't know what was going to happen, but I knew that it was very, very serious because there had already been engagement on the part of, for example, Senator Bob Corker had already talked to the Turkish ambassador in Washington. And so there was already interest from the states, from the U.S. government, and then they took this step and escalated. So I knew that it was very serious, and I did not know if I would ever get out. Now, in the process, at one point, they elevated my charges, increased my charges so that I would. They were asking for 3 aggravated life sentences, which means life in solitary confinement. So I knew that they were trying to raise my value in this high-stakes thing that was going on. But at the same time, I thought they could very well keep me here for the rest of my life, and that was very frightening. The idea of not seeing my children again was very discouraging.
Of course, there was a break in July when you were transferred. The administration has been all over this, and the president, the vice president, secretary of state, the ambassador at large for religious freedom, Congress, senators, working on this day in and day out. In fact, I know one of your big concerns, as you mentioned, was that you would be forgotten. And I would, just as a reflection of the president's commitment to this, when I came over to be there for your hearing, the president sent a letter to you to communicate that America stood with you. You would not be alone. And I think that meant a lot, to know that the government, this administration, has been working for you on your behalf.
It was very meaningful. It was tremendously encouraging. And that was one of the actual scary things, is that we saw the high level of engagement, almost unprecedented. I have heard that it's unprecedented, the level of engagement that took place, especially at the high levels, that a president should be so involved. And it's not just that he delegated it to others. I saw in President Trump that I see that he has a very caring heart. That was very much in his heart to rescue me. And some people have politicized this, I think, but I really think he cared deeply about this. And so one of the scary things was when we see the most powerful government in the world or country, the wealthiest country in the world, and yet there's no progress being made. And we thought there's something going on here that's not just human, political. There's a spiritual warfare involved here. And
we're going to talk about, Andrew, we're going to talk about that. We're up against another break, and I'm going to ask you to hold because I'm going to finish this story, and then there's a good ending to this story, and we want to talk about that on the other side of the break. Folks, don't go away. We continue our interview with Pastor Andrew Brunson right here next.
The world on our horizon is like the days I knew. Gone are the days of writing with fresh ink on thick paper and the swift crack of a letter opener. Homemade meals now replaced by fancy robots trying to figure out how often I buy organic goji berries. I don't even know what a goji berry is. My church started offering free Wi-Fi and changed their name from First Baptist to Radiant Water Life something or other. They even started posting video sermons recorded on wood pallet backgrounds that sync directly to a Dropbox that I have yet to locate. Thankfully, there's a silver lining to all this newfangled technology. Family Research Council's Stand Firm app. Put down your quill and contact your legislators directly from your smartphone or tablet. Share legislative alerts with your contacts and connect with like-minded Christians about the latest current events. Read the Washington Update and listen to Washington Watch with Tony Perkins. This thing's got it all, buddy boy. Keep your cool and help secure our future at frc.org/app.
Your email inbox is probably filled with a lot of free stuff these days. Free is good, but most of our email ends up being free spam. If you want a healthier diet in your inbox, add Tony Perkins' Washington Update newsletter to your email menu. This daily update from Family Research Council is our flagship publication, an update with the latest pro-family take on Washington's hottest issues. The update goes beyond the headlines and examines what is really going on in our culture and politics from a biblical perspective. Are evangelicals showing up at the polls? Are faith-based adoption providers persecuting same-sex couples? The left and the media love to answer these questions for you. Let FRC remove the spin and give you real answers with the Washington Update. To subscribe to this free daily newsletter and to subscribe to other free resources, go to frc.org/connect. That's frc.org/connect.
This Christmas, give a gift with purpose. Your gift to Family Research Council enables us to advance faith, family, and freedom. Together, we will work to protect life, marriage, and religious liberty in our country. If you give before December 31st to FRC, your gift will be doubled. Be fruitful in your gift giving this season. Call 1-800-225-4008 or visit frc.org/2018. FRC wishes you and your family a Merry Christmas and a Blessed New Year.
Don't miss your opportunity to join other like-minded people and become an FRC Stand member. Join today and you'll receive empowering resources like Tony Perkins' book, No Fear, and for a limited time, Pastor Carter Conlon's book, It's Time to Pray. So become an FRC Stand member for $17 a month. That's just 56 cents a day. To join, call 1-800-225-4008 or visit frc.org/stand. Thank you for partnering with us for the sake of America.
You're listening to a special Best of 2018 edition of Washington Watch Live, recorded in October of last year.
I'm Tony Perkins, and this is Washington Watch. The website, TonyPerkins.com. Thanks so much for tuning in, my guest, Pastor Andrew Brunson. Many of you prayed for him, and I want to thank you for being a part of that and part of the reason for inviting Pastor Brunson on. He's been on an intensive media tour telling his story, but he returned to Washington yesterday for the sole purpose of thanking those who helped him to secure his release. We were at the State Department yesterday. The Secretary of State was there, but many of the case officers that worked on his case, he was there just to thank them. And then we were able to go to the White House, meet with the Vice President, because he was not there when Pastor Brunson returned. Andrew, thanks for staying over through the break for this third segment. But I just think your story is so compelling, and the gratitude of I want to get to that in a moment. But I know we left off on a very important aspect, and you said it came a point where you realized that there was more to this than met the eye. There was the spiritual warfare, and that's where the prayer was so important, to have believers praying around the nation and literally around the world. And, yeah, and there is warfare.
It seemed like a Pharaoh-type situation. And we wondered, why is this going on? Why? It doesn't make any sense politically for Turkey for this to continue on in this way. And I began to see at one point, and it's one of the things that helped me during the imprisonment in the second year, as the Lord started to rebuild me, was to begin to see that there's something that God is doing here that goes far beyond just people praying for me to endure. And I began to see that there are people praying all over the world. Why should they pray for me? I'm not an important person. We've been working in relative obscurity for 23 years in Turkey. But people were praying in China, Iranians were praying, people in Africa, and we thought, this is God raising up a prayer movement to bless Turkey, to change Turkey, because we believe there's a great harvest that's going to come. But there's also a very strong spirit, and Islam is very powerful, and it is the prayer of God's people that sows into and prepares for the harvest. So we began to see that my imprisonment had a purpose that for the first year, I wasn't aware of it. I became aware of it as God's people began to pray more and more. So we believe that God is going to really use these prayers, and that it was, I think God allowed me to stay in prison for the length of time I was there because he wanted to bring this, use this as a blessing to Turkey.
Do you also sense that the Lord was using this to stir the church to an understanding of the persecution that is taking place around the world?
You know, I only had the view from the cell. I don't know what was going on outside, but I think that one thing that made this more interesting, that caught the attention of some people, is that usually Western missionaries don't go to prison for their faith. But obviously, and there are many countries where that is a problem and where they do, and this is part of the cost. And I think that as I think about our own country, I think it's becoming increasingly a challenge for Christians to stand for righteousness, to stand for truth. And this is something that we didn't see in the years before to this degree. So I think God's people more and more are going to be called to take strong stands, to be courageous, and be willing to suffer some level of persecution, at least verbally, to be looked down on when they stand for the Lord.
Let's talk for just a moment, Pastor Brunson. At that point in the courtroom, that massive courtroom, a basketball court converted into a court, and I use that term loosely because it's I don't think they take justice real serious over there, but you were standing there all day long. We heard witnesses starting to recant their testimonies, and then you had the prosecutor reading, you know, for 45 minutes all the charges against you, making recommendations that you be placed back in prison, one of your greatest fears, facing 35 years. Court recesses, they come back, you plead you're innocent, they recess, they come back, and after it's all said and done, it says the prison doors open and you're released. What did you think at that moment?
Well, the first thing is that the minutes just prior to that were probably one of the most difficult times that I had during the whole imprisonment, because I thought, okay, there's been so much pressure from the administration, and yet I don't know how many years they're going to give me, and they're going to find me guilty of terrorism. And they did find me guilty. So it was one of the very lowest moments, and I had to readjust my mindset and say, okay, Lord, if this is what you have for me, then just give me the strength, because I don't have the strength to continue on, but I do want to serve your purposes. And so it was a time to surrender and to count the cost. How did I feel when they came back and said, sorry?
You had folks there praying with you through that process.
Yes. It was very difficult, but then when they said, okay, we've convicted you, but we're releasing you for time served, it was just an amazing thing for us. We had two long years, a long nightmare, and Noreen and I knelt down in the courtroom together and just thanked God together and cried together.
Now, I know the answer to this because I was with you, but at what point, and it was about five, almost 6 hours between that moment and when we left the country via a Air Force plane, jet, at what point did you know that you were going back to the United States and you could breathe easy?
Well, up until we actually took off, we didn't know. Anything can happen. If someone says the wrong thing, any official says something that the president of Turkey reacts to, then we could be in trouble again, and I could be back in prison. So when we took off, and I thought, well, they're not going to stop a U.S. Air Force jet, but when we crossed the left Turkish airspace, that's when we just breathed a sigh of relief and thought, it's real. We're on the way out. We're going home. And we were so relieved and happy and joyful.
You, within hours, we stopped in Germany for about 7 hours and headed on to the United States. You were in the Oval Office about 2:30 Saturday afternoon, and you prayed for the president. That prayer has been seen by millions. What What inspired you to pray for the president?
Well, first, my wife had had a dream in the previous months about praying for him from Isaiah 11, that the Holy Spirit give him wisdom, all those qualities of the Holy Spirit from Isaiah 11. And in her dream, she'd felt that she was thwarted again and again from doing it. So when she woke up, she said, I'm going to do this every day, and if I ever get the chance, and I want to pray this over the president. When we were on the plane coming back, then I asked you, since I know that you have a relationship with the president and have spent time with him, would it be appropriate for us to do this? Would he receive it from us? And you said yes. So I quickly scribbled down just on a piece of paper there what I'd like to pray for him. And then Noreen and I prayed together before we went to the White House. We said, Lord, we'd really like the opportunity just to pray for this president. And we believe in impartation, that God can bless others through his people. So when we asked President Trump if we could pray for him, I think many people would like to have that opportunity. He said yes, and we were very privileged to be able to pray for him.
It was an amazing moment, a prophetic prayer, I believe. The president, you mentioned this a few moments ago, and it's my take on the president as I've seen him in various settings. I would describe him as a very empathetic man who takes a personal interest in people who are having difficulty, and I think he genuinely cares. And you've had an opportunity. You saw him again yesterday. He pulled you in for a bill signing on water, which I thought was interesting. He is a lot different than what the public sees when you're with him privately.
Yes, I don't have extensive experience of being with him in private, but what we have had, he's been very warm and caring, and he asks questions, he listens, and as you said, very empathetic. And what I came away with was a feeling that he has a big heart, that he actually cares for people.
Pastor Brunson, as our time comes to a close here, I want to give you an opportunity, just kind of the message that you would have for believers across this nation in this hour in which we live. You know, we're seeing unprecedented levels of persecution toward people of faith, a lot of it in the Middle East and in Islamic countries. But we have an administration that has, as you pointed out, it was unprecedented level of interest in activity in your case, but you're not the only one. This administration understands, cares about, and is advancing this fundamental human right of religious freedom. This is a moment of opportunity, and I think you have an understanding of that better than most, given what you've gone through. What would be, or what is, your message to believers across this nation?
That's a really hard one. One message. One thing is we need to pray for this government. And I'm very pleased, as I've met a number of strong believers in this administration and in leadership, and we need to pray for them. One thing that living for eternity, this is one thing that I've fixed my eyes on, is we have so little time here. And we want to live for the Lord and make it count and be willing to. I was thinking as I meet the president, I was talking with Noreen this morning. He's one of the most powerful men in the world. And I thought someday all of these leaders are going to bow before the King of Kings, the King of the universe. And that we really need to have the mindset of living for Jesus, of seeking him, of being willing to undergo difficulties for his sake. So we have to have that mindset. I'm willing to suffer for the name of the Lord. I'm willing to stand up for him, whatever the cost is to me. And I think more and more there will be a cost to standing for Jesus in this culture.
And we can do that, as you said, when we live for eternity, when we have that eternal perspective, knowing that this is just a fleeting moment. This is a shadow.
Yes.
And
yes.
Our life has greater purpose and meaning. Pastor Andrew Brunson, great to have you on the program. Just honored to call you my friend, and so thankful for your bold stand for Christ and your willingness now to take that message and to share and encourage and inspire and equip others to live the same way.
Thank you. And again, thank you to all those who prayed for us. We are so grateful.
All right. Tell Noreen we said hello and look forward to seeing you again real soon.
Okay. The Lord bless you. Bye-bye.
All right. Pastor Andrew Brunson. Continue to pray for him. Is there now this kind of seeking the Lord as to what is next for them? And a truly, truly wonderful couple that the Lord is using and will use mightily. But here's the thing. As he said, you know, I was an obscure pastor in a small congregation in Turkey. Why'd the Lord call me? Like, the Lord will use any of us, no matter where we are, what we have, if we just lay it out before him. And look at this. I mean, the Lord has used Pastor Brunson in a remarkable way to, as he was talking about, to bless Turkey. And I have no doubt that that's the case. A lot of people praying for Turkey, and they need prayer, believe me. But I believe it's also to awaken the church, especially in America, that has become kind of complacent and, you know, just we're so inwardly focused. We need to focus outward. And there are so many believers around the world. 83% of the world's population lives under regimes that either restrict religious freedom or persecute people based upon their faith. America is at a point with the type of leadership that we just talked about here that understands that this is a fundamental human right, not just for Americans, but for everybody. And they're advocating for that, both here and abroad. This is a moment for the church to live out our faith, praying for believers around the world and others, non-believers, that they might have the opportunity to choose. And then this is an open door for the church on its own. As we have a government that recognizes this fundamental right, we need to go forth and take that message of the gospel. But remember what Andrew said. We've got to live with an eternal perspective, but realize that we're going to face opposition and there will be obstacles. And we have to have the courage to live for Jesus Christ. Just think of that. 2 years, he spent a year and a half in Turkish jail, prison. 6 months in house arrest. What are we called to do? Maybe people say negative things about us. Maybe we'd lose a job. Is that too much to live for Christ so that others might come to know him? Well, folks, out of time, I want to thank you for joining us. Sorry we didn't get to the phones, but I thought Andrew's story is compelling. Until next time. I leave you with the encouraging words of the Apostle Paul found in Ephesians 6, where he says, when you've done everything you can do, when you've prayed, when you've prepared, and when you have taken your stand, by all means, keep standing.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is powered by the Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.